This is Radio Superior 1951, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes. I'm Tim Michaels for Vacationing Jack McKenna. It's Friday evening, April 6, 1951. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has news from the sporting world. And we have another new feature.
Oh, goody.
It's called Garden Gems with an honest-to-goodness professor from Superior State.
Talking to someone who isn't a charlatan, what a nice change of pace.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Lebo's Jewelry, the ideal gift for the graduate this spring. Get a Bulova or Longines watch for $24.95 at Lebo's. Well, good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. Would-be presidential assassin Colazzo has been sentenced to die for slaying a White House guard, while the Chinese retreat suddenly as the Allies thrust forward. We begin our world report from the nation's capital.
This is Washington, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Oscar Colazzo was sentenced today to die in the electric chair for the attempted assassination of President Truman last fall and the slaying of a presidential guard. In an impassioned outburst, the 37-year-old Colazzo says he didn't want to plea for his life, but for Puerto Rico's independence. Turning to the courtroom audience, the little Puerto Rican shouted, "Whatever I did it for a just cause. I did it for my country," end quote. Federal Judge P. Ellen Goldsboro set the execution date for October 26th. Colazzo's court-appointed attorneys have already given notice of appeal. At his trial, Colazzo contended that he and companion Griselo Torresola were only demonstrating for Puerto Rican independence when they attempted to storm Blair House last November 1st. Torresola and White House guard Leslie Kofelt were wounded in a furious exchange of pistol shots. Both murder charges were based on Kofelt's death. One is deliberate and premeditated murder, and the other while attempting to break into Blair House, President Truman's temporary home, with intent to assassinate the president. Testimony in the trial showed Torresola killed Kofelt, but the law holds partners in crime equally responsible. Torresola was killed in the gun battle. Two White House guards, Joseph Downs and Donald Birdzell, were wounded. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Tokyo calling. Associated Press correspondent John Randolph here. A surprise Chinese withdrawal on the Central Front last night left a no-man's land in front of United Nations forces north of Parallel 38. Chinese had been fighting stubbornly for 2 days, suddenly broke contact and retreated. Americans thrusting forward today report only patrol contact. The Allied advance has thrust as much as 8 miles inside the communist North Korea. Elements of four divisions press the slow UN advance on the Central and Western fronts. Greek, British, American, South Korean, and Thai troops fought from hill to hill. All but a few Chinese and Red Korean stragglers had been driven from battered South Korea. Diehards blocked the road east of Chuncheon on the mountainous Central Front. Allied forces on the Western Front have bumped up against solid concrete fortifications. Red defenders are guarding the flank of a massive communist buildup for an expected spring offensive. In Tokyo, this is John Randolph.
Ray Tucker here in D.C. A Democratic reform ticket of Senator Paul Douglas of Illinois and crime chaser Estes Kefauver of Tennessee is rapidly gaining momentum among certain circles which do not believe President Truman will seek re-election next year. Indeed, backers of the cleanup movement don't believe the Missourian will dare to run again in the face of the Kefauver Fulbright revelations. Rightly or wrongly, and despite the clamor of Truman coattailers, he will retire to private life at the end of his term. He will become a party elder, possibly a columnist or a commentator. The Truman faction lost its cockiness since Korea and the Kefauver Fulbright investigation and other scandals. They figure the Tennessee investigator has wrecked their once powerful machines in the great cities of Boston, New York, Chicago, and points west and south. The televising of the Crime and Politics Alliance hearings may have cost them the women's vote. Liberals no longer view Mr. Truman as Franklin D. Roosevelt's heir. In Washington, this is Ray Tucker.
Atomic spy David Greenglass, accuser of his doomed sister and brother-in-law Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, was sentenced to 15 years in prison today for his part in the Russian spy ring. KUWS News Time is 6:06. Tim has these words from Lebo Jewelry.
Well, it's just about graduation time, and the perfect graduation gift is a beautiful watch, and they've got them at Lebo's Jewelry. Graduation watches from Hamilton, Bulova, Gruen, Longines, Elgin, and other fine watches priced as low as $24.75. So that would be the great gift for the graduates. Plus, June is also wedding month time, and they've got some great deals in diamonds. Diamonds from anywhere from $50 up to $500. Choose from Superior's largest selection. Choose it and charge it. And also remember that I lost my place. Oh, yeah, okay. You can make a lay-by now, and a small deposit will hold your item until needed. So whether it be a watch or a beautiful diamond ring, choose it and charge it at Lebo Jewelry at 1124 Tower Avenue in Superior. Lou?
Sergeant John Gormley of Superior has been awarded the Commendation Ribbon for service in the Korean fighting. Quoting the citation, "For excellence in the line of his profession while serving in Marine Aircraft Group 12 during the operation at Wonsan and Yeonpu, Korea, from October to December the 15th, Staff Sergeant Gormley served as operations clerk. He performed outstanding service day and night, and in times of emergency, his coolness and judgment were outstanding. On one occasion at Wonsan, when an Air Force pilot was critically injured by an aircraft propeller, Staff Sergeant Gormley rendered invaluable and immediate assistance to the injured pilot, pending arrival of the doctor. An untiring and cheerful worker, Sergeant Gormley was a constant inspiration to all those who worked with him. His conduct throughout is in keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service." Unquote. The Lutheran Conference is winding up its session in Superior. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
The Lutheran Minnesota Conference closed session today in Pilgrim Lutheran Church with delegates acting on many resolutions. Convention delegates adopted the revised Constitution of Lutheran Charities, which are in two units, one to operate hospitals and invalid homes, the other homes for aged and children. Dr. L.B. Benson of Ashland and St. Paul is in charge of the hospitals and invalid homes, and Morton V. Bjorquist of St. Paul has the homes for aged and children. The conference adopted four resolutions recommending that Minnesota set up domestic relations courts to handle divorce cases and a 90-day waiting period be established before action could be filed in court. Second, to give full endorsement and urge strengthening and expansion of the mental health program in Minnesota. Third, protest giving beer to servicemen in Korea and overseas, and that they need to be served soft drinks instead. And fourth, eliminate the universal military training proposal from the Selective Service Law, charging that it is a radical departure from the U.S. democratic way of life. Lou?
Too many people are throwing their garbage out the car window. That from Douglas County Sheriff Elton Eckroth. Eckroth says he's received numerous complaints in the past few weeks of people discarding rubbish alongside roads and highways. He says people can be fined up to $50 or serve a maximum of 30 days in jail if they're convicted. And finally, Tim and good listeners, a fishy story from the Central Co-op. Co-op Supervisor Marvin Jarvie boasted that he would swallow a live goldfish for $20. So co-workers rounded up the cash, and true to his word, Jarvie let the goldfish slide down the hatch.
Ish for the poor fish.
No word if he'll share some of that money with Peggy Syring, who had two goldfish in her bowl at the start of the day, and now only has one. Tim.
Thank you, Lou Martin, with the yuckiest news in town. Icky, icky, icky. The forecast for this Friday night, April 6, 1951, light rain or light snow tonight and tomorrow morning. High tomorrow, about 44 degrees. It's music time, just for our late fishy friend. Here's Arthur Godfrey and Gone Fishing on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Come fish, 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 fish. He's gone fishing.
Gone fishing. There's a sign upon his door. Gone fishing. He ain't working anymore. There's his hole out in the sun, where he left a row half done. He said, hoeing ain't no fun. He ain't got no ambition, gone fishing. By a shady, wady pool, I'm a-wishing I could be that kind of fool. I'd say no more work for mine. On my door I'd hang a sign, gone fishing. Instead, it just a wishing.
He's gone fishing.
Gone fishing. He don't worry about no wars. Gone fishing. Left his wife to do the chores. Cows need milking in the barn, but he just don't give a darn. See, his fishing pole is gone. He's on a secret mission. Gone fishing. Out where peace has never died, I'm a-wishing. All the world was by his side, then our guns we'd throw away. Grab a fishing pole and say, gone fishing. Instead, it just a wishing.
Instead, it just a wishing.
Gone fishing.
He's gone fishing.
Gone fishing.
Instead, it just a wishing.
Gone fishing's
gone fishing.
Arthur Godfrey and Gone Fishing on station KUWS. Looking for a great place to shake a leg, follow Twinkle Toes Lou Martin, and head on over to the Labor Temple tomorrow night. Frankie Cox and his orchestra, along with Ray Talcott and his electric accordion, will entertain. Dancing every Saturday night from 9 until 1 a.m. at the Labor Temple at Tower and Broadway in Superior.
I don't make cheesy references to you during the news, so I'd appreciate being left out of your advertisements.
Sorry. Here's a sign of spring, folks. Smitty's Supper Club, just north of Solon Springs, is now open for the season. Smitty's features chicken, steak, and tasty seafood, and serving Lou's favorite drinks at the cocktail lounge. Smitty's. Open Saturdays from 4 p.m. and Sundays from noon.
They do serve good rusty nails and stingers.
Uh-huh. Let's enjoy the music of the Weavers and Good Night Irene on the Martin and McKenna's Lou's Sign of Spring Show.
Another stroll downtown. Stop your gambling. Stop staying out late at night. Go home to your wife and family. Stay there by your fireside bright.
I ring the night. I ring the night. Good night, I ring the night. I ring. I'll see you in my dreams. Good night, I ring. Good night, I ring. I'll see you in my dreams.
The Weavers and Good Night Irene on Station KUWS.
It's my pleasure to introduce esteemed botany professor Dr. Stanley Oxman of Superior State College.
I'm profoundly glad to be here, Mr. Lewis.
That's Martin.
Such familiarity. All right, then, you can call me Stanley.
Stan?
I prefer Professor.
That's Professor Dr. Stanley, if you will. As we refer to the early signs of spring in your own rather vulgar way, with rusty nails at Smithy's, I believe.
It's only vulgar if they don't put filberts in it.
With the end of winter, many people turn their minds to the love of nature. The early Greeks celebrated the arrival of the spring by staging celebrations in honor of Adonis, their god of growing plants.
Oh, Brown Thumb Lou could use something like that around the house. Even his potted plants don't stand a chance.
I've tried everything. I even talked to the plants.
You do?
He says, please, please, don't die.
You might try watering them. As I was saying, the Greeks ushered in the season with what is now called Adonis Gardens. No doubt plant lovers are visualizing ways to landscape their lawns. I have just one word. Shrubs.
Bushes?
Shrubs. It's a relatively easy and economical way of dressing up the external aspects of one's home.
A cheap way to fix up the lawn.
Yes, thank you for the interpretation. Landscape artists consider handy ornamental shrubs.
Bushes.
Shrubs for developing enjoyable and inspiring environments.
More bushes mean less lawn to mow, too.
This guy's good.
When placed in naturalistic groups, shrubs soften and harmonize harsh line effects, thus blending the house with nature.
And giving dogs more options.
I suppose Tim's idea of a good time is knock-knock jokes over beer and pretzels.
I'm afraid Tim's president of the knock-knock jokes over beer and pretzels club.
Yes, I'm intuitive on these things. Once again, property owners, unfortunately, must realize because of the climatic conditions of Upper Wisconsin, only shrubs designated as very hardy will thrive.
That's why your palm trees don't make it, Lou.
Probably explains my cactuses, too.
Cacti. Cacti. I know when some people are having fun with me. That's perfectly acceptable. Botanists can have fun, too. I'll just leave you with this. Cornus dogwoods and Lonicera honeysuckles, very hardy bushes, if you will, and equally admirable in their floral displays and their showy cloaks of brilliant fruits, which ripen in the summer and fall. This is Professor Stanley Oxman of Superior State College with Garden Gems.
Very interesting lecture, Professor.
I pride myself not only in botany, but literary ability.
Especially when it comes to bushes. Well, here are the four preps, and down by the station on the Lewis and McKenna Show.
Station early in the morning, met a little girl about as cute as she could be. I turned on my charms and told her that I loved her, said that she would always be the number one for me. She'd always be my number one girl. I said there'd be no number two or three. Down by the malt shop shortly thereafter, met another girl about as cute as she could be. I looked for number one, and when I did
The Four Preps and down by the station on KUWS. I wonder if they were singing about us, Ray.
Probably not. Say, Tim, I've got a sure sign of spring. Softball. I posted a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board.
Now that's great. I get dibs on first base.
I'm pitching again this year.
That should keep our perfect streak of no winning seasons in the past 20 years intact.
I heard that.
Oops. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with the sports.
Wow. Hello, sporting fans. They didn't give up. They wouldn't give up. And now the New York Knickerbockers are in the NBA Finals for the first time in their short five-year history. Down 12 points with 10 minutes to go, the battling Knicks staged a searing attack to trip the Syracuse Nationals 83-81 last night and sew up the Eastern Division. Now the Knicks square off with the Rochester Royals for the league title. As we all sadly know by now, Rochester upset our beloved Minneapolis Lakers for the Western Division flag. The holder of last year's National Jockey Honors, Willie Shoemaker, arrived at Bay Meadows today to ride 3 mounts. Shoemaker notched 388 victories in 1950. Hey fans, here's something to crow about. All-star retired baseball star Dave Bancroft of Superior has signed on to manage Battle Creek. Battle Creek is the newest entry into the American Girls Professional Baseball League. Girls baseball is going over tremendously in the Midwest and is now looked upon as big time. The fairer set view favorably with men's nines in setting spectator records. Switch hitting Beauty Bancroft is one of baseball's all-time great shortstops and faced the New York Yankees in 3 World Series, 2 of which his Giants took from the immortal Babe Ruth and his Bronx Bombers. And speaking of those hated Yankees, spring training has shown the imagination-stirring abilities of a 19-year-old rookie by the name of Mickey Mantle. Remember it. Baseball gray bears can't remember another switch hitter who didn't sacrifice something to hit from both sides of the plate. But young Mr. Mantle hit 14 homers in the Class C Western Association last year, batting left-handed, and a dozen batting right. But of course, the freckled-faced strong boy from Commerce, Oklahoma, hasn't tackled major league pitching yet. So, good luck, youngster. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Tim?
Thanks, buddy. Up next, the last first signs of spring.
Which makes sense only when you say it, Tim.
I have the knack. Here's the Ames Brothers and Ragmop on the Martin and McKenna Show.
M, I say M-O, M-O-P, M-O-P.
Brothers and a rag mop on station KUWS.
It seems that we have a caller from Superior about her first sign of spring.
Boy, I guess we are interesting after all. Hello there!
Hello there, Tim. Yes, yes, this is Mrs. Lydia Wetwer of 1522 Ogden. I'm looking out my window at cherry crocuses, which are majestically lifting their heads near the house. And you know what's funny about that, Mr. Michael?
No idea, Mrs. Wetwer.
Just 2 feet from the crocuses is the remains of a snowdrift.
Thank you, Mrs. Wetwer.
We have another call.
Last sign of spring. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, hello. Father Leo Block here. I thought I'd share with you this moment of God's wonder of nature. Something we here in the far north don't take for granted. I can tell you this much I can. Well, anyways, as I was telling my fellow elks last night, you see, I am the lodge chaplain, too, where I do wear many, many hats. I even cook the oyster stew supper at the club.
Oyster stew is always a great first sign of spring.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, that's not the first sign of spring I'm calling about. I'll tell you this, but going for a serene walk in Central Park today, I spied a robin and two purple finches and a junco. So, Timmy boy, what would your first sign of spring be?
The smell of 5 months of doggy doo-doo on the lawn and covered by the melted snow.
Ah, yes. No, that quite isn't a miracle of the Lord, but I guess to each his own. Well, you know, the Lord does work in strange and mysterious ways. Well, anyhow, God bless and goodbye.
Goodbye, Father Block.
Well, wasn't that entirely inappropriate? The good father's talking about robins and finches, and you're talking about the smell of doggy doo in the air.
Well, you've got to love spring. Stay tuned for The Life of Riley, the NBC Dance Orchestra, and Earl Hinton News at 10 o'clock. We'll be back the same time, same place in your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and some offended dog doesn't bite Lou. For Lou Martin, this is Tim Michaels wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1951, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, Joel Anderson, John Munson, Kathy Bergren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1951 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.